Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Perra melancólica, maldito el día que me dijiste será la única. Mira el desastre que has dejado y me volví alcohólica. Por poco y caigo en un volcán de mierda tóxica. Suena ridículo y si pudiera repetiría. La cabeza me tiene jodida. No tengo receta de esta pastilla. Si la
welcome to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on Encuentro Radio, the online radio station for CEPALC. Welcome back. We are talking now about the Olympics. Officially started, the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. First, say hello to everyone that's here with us and tell us how you feel. Are you into the Olympics? Are there sports that you want to watch? Do you not care about it at all? We'll start with Mariana, who I know is invested currently.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm nervous. I'm a big fan of female football. Mm-hmm. And in this moment, Colombia team is player. So right now, my heart is like in two sides. Hearing your voices, but also I'm looking the play because it's difficult for me not to saw it. Yeah, but
so you can update us throughout the program if there are any goals.
Yeah, maybe Hannah Michelle is gonna look at me because I'm like my face is gonna set everything. The last game I was here with Alejandra and she was recording something and I was like, oh my god, but I can scream because she have the microphone open. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try to be quiet, but maybe I'm gonna move it. I'm do something.
So we know female soccer or football is a big one for Mariana here. Michelle, how about you? How are you feeling about the Olympic Games?
Because there are hardly any Zimbabwean participants in the Olympics.
I'm not as invested.
Yeah. Hmm. So I really don't know much about the Olympics.
Have you seen any of the games so far?
No. I have not.
Okay. We'll see if we can convince Michelle during this program to watch some of them.
Yeah, that's true. You need support.
For me, obviously, the U.S. has a huge team that goes to the Olympics every year. I certainly haven't watched all the sports. I was really interested in watching gymnastics. The U.S. women's team competed yesterday and won gold, which, I mean, no one was really surprised about.
Because it's not surprised that they're going to win.
It was like a given. But it's always really interesting to watch the team. They're pretty historical. And, like, one of the biggest, I feel like when you think of, at least in the U.S. context, like when you talk about the Summer Olympics, gymnastics is usually, like, one of the biggest categories that everyone watches.
Yeah,
swimming is also a big one, and track and field, I think, are the big three areas.
Yeah,
more or less.
But also, USA have one of the best football players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, USA won today two gold with Australia.
Woo!
Yeah.
If you're here in Colombia and in Latin America, you can watch pretty much all of the games on YouTube, on Claro Sports.
Or in RCN and Caracol, they present a lot of the play, but more when it's a Colombian participating. But yeah, they have like cover every deport there.
But then is there like a... I don't know, like a program when
we'll be able
to know what time and what is being aired or something like that?
Yeah, you can find online the Olympic schedule.
Yeah,
it is in all like French time, like so the time zone is very different. So for us, they're mostly like in the mornings.
Okay.
The stuff that I've been interested in watching, you can also watch. I've been watching mainly on YouTube. Because you can watch it live, but then it also stays on YouTube even after it's over.
Yeah.
So yesterday during work, I didn't necessarily have time to watch the gymnastics final, but then at home at night, I was able to catch up.
Yeah, you have like different opportunity to saw that. Actually, this morning was like fighting a sport. So in that moment was the Colombian. So right now, I don't have a television to sell, but I can find in YouTube. Mm-hmm. I found obviously in Spanish, Juegos Olímpicos 2024, and you can find different lives or the videos appear there.
Yeah, and then you can also find like shorter highlights.
Yeah.
Because obviously the videos are like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours long.
Yeah, it's fine. Long.
Which is why I also like watching after the fact, because then I can like fast forward.
Commentary,
exactly.
Awesome. And the presentation of the medals, is it like right after the event or there's going to be one huge ceremony?
They're often kind of throughout, like after the events, after the individual events.
Cool. Yeah. At least now I have an idea.
Well, I have the music for today.
Yes, tell us about it.
We are is La Guru. She is a singer, songwriter, and composer born in Pereira, Colombia, with a career spanning over 10 years working with national and international people. Actually, she got famous because in the interview that Juan Piz González do to Karol G, the last interview that she does here in Colombia, later than 5 years, she invited the Guru, because the first song that we were listening called La Perra Melancólica is like the most famous, because in that interview you can find in the YouTube channel of Juan Piz González, the last moment Karol G sing this song with the Guru, and trying to say the people that maybe you can support her, because it's like not a new artist, but right now she is more known because this song, Perra Melancólica. Obviously she have more song, but was like a help for Karol G to try to the people know more about Perra Melancólica and La Guru. So this is the singer that I have for today.
And we'll go to another quick song break to hear more from La Guru, and we'll be right back. This is the first time that there is like gender parity, at least in the numbers of male athletes and female athletes. Finally, in 2024, we have like a 50-50 split of male and female athletes.
Actually, when we recorded yesterday the video for Encuentro Feminista, when I do like the text to read, was like, oh my God, this is the first Olympic Games that the women and men have like 50-50 in the sports. Like, really?
Yeah, in the Tokyo Games, the last Summer Olympic Games, it was close. It was like 48% female athletes to male athletes. And now it's finally at 50-50. And it doesn't have to stop there. You know, we can have more women than men. That's fine. I have no problem with that. It's been the opposite for way too long.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of great female athletes, and we're seeing more and more of them. And with that increase in female athletes, there are also more athletes who are mothers competing. More women with families, even young babies, and then getting back into their sport and getting to the top of their game at the sport and going to the Olympics. I saw today there was an Egyptian, I think fencing, if I'm not mistaken, athlete who announced that she was actually like 7 months pregnant and competing in the Olympic Games, which is impressive considering all the toll that pregnancy takes on your body physically. And for the people that get back to their sport very quickly after giving birth, like, birth is also a traumatic experience for the body. So just, you know, it's crazy that people continue to think that men are just like naturally more athletic or more or stronger, and you see all these women who go through something that really changes their body, like pregnancy and childbirth, and then getting back to being the strongest in their sport, breaking records, winning medals. You know, how can you not think that women are strong? And with that responsibilities of like motherhood, there are more and more athletes talking about the need for accommodations during the Olympics, but also, you know, the rest of the years when it's not an Olympic year, to support especially women who are growing their families, who want to start a family, and not have to give up their career as an athlete to do so. This year, we have something special. Thanks to a retired track star and U.S. Olympic champion, Allison Felix, who, since she's retired, she's not currently competing in these Olympic Games, but she still had an important role in the Games this year. She was important in setting up a nursery for athletes' children and accommodations for mothers who are breastfeeding as well. Her and other athletes as well. Allison Felix has been pretty open about the lack of support for female athletes who are mothers or who want to have children. Previously, a few years ago, she was big news when she broke away from her Nike sponsorship. Because they, when she came to them talking about, you know, her plans to start a family, to get pregnant soon, they asked her to take a 70% pay cut.
Oh my God.
70% pay cut in order to have a family. And decline maternity protections. Basically she was going to them saying, you know, I would, my plan is to, you know, have, start having children, and trying to have, strike this like maternity leave deal and protection so that she could be, she could do that and she could still come back to her athletic career afterwards when she was ready, and they weren't really willing to give her those graces, and then not only that but asked her to take way less money, and so she broke ties with that sponsorship and she started her own shoe company in order to not use Nike's during her tracks, during her competitions, you know, all those things. And she started her own shoe company, providing free shoes for people experiencing size changes during pregnancy.
Okay.
So she has a new a shoe company specifically for female athletes, especially. I mean, anyone can buy them, but with female athletes in mind. And then recognizing that women through pregnancy may, you know, their feet may swell, they may need new shoe sizes. And so offering like a free pair of shoes in a new size for people who are doing that, so they don't have to, you know, go out and buy a completely different set of shoes or wardrobe for their pregnancy. And for a long time, for athletes, especially at that, you know, high level of competition, if you got pregnant, the world basically saw that as like, okay, her career's done. she's done. There's no way she can go back to, you know, bounce back. And all those things. And so Allison Felix, along with many other strong female athletes, have been trying to break that stereotype, break that misconception to show the world that, you know, women are really that strong that they can do both. Allison Felix gave birth to her daughter in 2018, and by 2020, she was competing, well, 2021, because it was, like, delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But a few years later, she was competing in the Tokyo Olympic Games. And she talks about how bringing her daughter with her to the Olympics, she realized how little support there was for athletes with children, trying to find, you know, places to spend time with her kid while being at the Olympics. She's a member of the International Olympic Committee Athletes Commission and went to the IOC with the idea of creating a nursery in the athletes' village, which is where everyone competing in the Olympics stays during the Olympics. And she also reached out to sponsors to be able to make it happen for this the current games. It's the first time that the Olympics game includes a separate space specifically for athletes to spend time with their children. And it's described as a space about half the size of a basketball court, full of toys, children's books in English, Spanish, and French. Obviously, there are a lot more languages that are missing, but a start, at least.
It's a good start.
Decorations of, like, cartoon Paris skyline, activities for the kids, changing tables with a supply of diapers and wipes, as well as private areas for women who are breastfeeding. Additionally, the French Olympian who is competing, Clarisse Agbegnenou, competing in judo, also petitioned for the French Olympic Committee to provide private hotel rooms for mothers who can sleep with their nursing children. Because typically, athletes share rooms with their teammates, and family members or other people are not allowed to stay in the same room. Now, obviously, if you're working majorly with men, there's no issue in that. However, when you start noticing when there are more women who are competing and are expressing their needs, you see that if you have a young baby who's still breastfeeding, you probably need to get up with them during the night in order to feed. If you're sharing a room with someone, that means also waking up your teammate, your other partners. And so this is kind of one of those initial changes as well, trying to make things easier for mothers to continue their parenting duties while also continuing to compete. And it helps not only the athletes who are parents with children, but also their teammates, even athletes who don't have children, to be able to rest and recover and prepare for their competitions without children being around if they choose to do so, but also have the option for parents to spend time with their children. Allison Felix says this is a first step. There's obviously a long way to go still to make things easier for parents and more accessible. And she wants to continue pushing for more support for athletes and their families. So these are the kind of things that you start to see as you get more women into sports, into these spaces, as people start to voice their needs, voice their concerns, voice their obstacles, things that no one really thought about before because there weren't as many women and there weren't as many mothers.
Yeah.
But there's still a long way to go.
But it is still amazing that there's some type of progress, and that just being a mother doesn't stop a person from achieving their goals and their dreams and participating in the Olympics. It's really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's important because for a lot of time, believe if you are like a player or something like that and have a baby, it's like the moment that you said, no, you need to stay in your house and take care about the babies. I don't know if you saw the videos about the ballerina farm.
I don't think so.
She was like a big ballerina and she had like a big future and know a man with money. And she go to leave a farm, and she it's not doing anything more. And I guess the decision that she stayed there was the man that take the decision, not her. Because in a lot of videos, she's continued dancing, but dancing in the farm. And I guess she have the opportunity to study in Juilliard, that is the best academy to be a dancer. But right now she not have like other life than more that obviously the babies and the farm, but a lot of people is like trying to said what happened about the dream that she have to mm-hmm. be a ballerina, and I understand was the decision for the men take about that she stay there. Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
And it's important for like for your children to see you accomplishing your dreams and you know, living a fulfilled life. Our moms are first and foremost people. So being a mother is not their only identity. And for these athletes, certainly they have to be able to include all aspects of themselves, professionally, athletic
yeah.
abilities, and parenthood. We'll go quickly to another song from our artist of the day, and then we'll be right back to continue talking about the Olympics.
Dime qué es lo que espera, dime cuando me mira, yo no aguanto la espera y no termina ahí. Sí. Quiero tenerte esta noche solo para mí. Y cuando toca, tu piel me pone loca, pero es que a veces me toca disimular que me gusta, es tan irreal como me toca. Eso me provoca, pero es que a veces me toca decir que no siento algo, pero lo siento todo. Nunca te vas a olvidar de mí. Ahora siente el calor, que somos fuego, eso dicen todos. No quiero que te vayas de mi lado, esto que siento no me había pasado, es algo raro. Que se acabe el mundo, no tratemos de ocultarlo, deja que se enteren todos. Si yo te gusto, tú me gustas, te pregunto si preguntan, si al final solo estamos tú y yo. Y cuando toca, tu piel me pone loca, pero es que a veces me toca disimular que me gusta, es tan irreal como me toca. Me provoca, pero es que a veces me toca decir que no siento algo, pero lo siento todo. Pero lo siento todo.
Before we go into our next section, Mariana, what's the update on the game?
Well, we were so close to have a goal, so I'm like not trying to screaming because I know that we are in the program, but actually Linda Caicedo do like have like 3 women for Canada,
mm-hmm.
and she take away for the 3, so I was like, oh my god, this is the opportunity, but we don't have it. We are so close, actually. We are not playing so well like the Sunday, but I know maybe we have opportunity.
All right, keep us updated. Hopefully there's a goal before
maybe
our program is over.
If we do a goal, I'm gonna scream.
That's okay.
It's understandable.
So we talked about how women in the Olympics are kind of breaking this mold and breaking some of these stereotypes about motherhood and sports. And there are a lot of stereotypes that go along with being an athlete, age, body type, you know, what sports women are supposed to do as opposed to men. Lots of comments on people's age and people's bodies. Usually if you're watching the Olympics, as you get older, you feel, I don't know, you feel kind of like bad because you see all of these like athletes that are like 15, 16 years old and you're like,
yeah,
oh, I'm,
okay. First
you know.
Talent.
There or like Simone Biles, I think is 27 or 29. She's close to my age, and people are talking about, oh, she's such a mature athlete, and she's like one of the oldest there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not old yet.
No,
but this happens a lot.
She has 27.
20, so she's younger than I am.
Yeah,
and people talking about how she's, you know, getting old or like one of the oldest athletes, at least in gymnastics. So Michelle, tell us a little bit more about what's the deal with this like ageism in sports.
Well, you'd be happy to know that there are currently some athletes who are fighting against the stereotype where people probably view them as old, just they need to retire, but then they're still living on to fulfill their mm-hmm. dreams. And then we have people like Ziying Xing, who had a dream to participate in the Olympics, but for so many years she could not. But after 35 years, she has now been able to participate in table tennis, mm-hmm. which is quite a big deal, because originally she was born in China, Guangzhou, in 1966, and she had this talent ever since she was young. She became a national junior champion and won several regional tournaments before turning a professional at the age of 12. But for all these decades, she had not qualified to be in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And she eventually moved to Chile, and she's been living in Chile for 35 years. And she's like as Chilean as they come, because 35 years in a country. Yeah. And then she actually had an interview with the CNN where she expressed how she's been like so excited that she finally gets an opportunity to play, and how at a time, there was a time where she actually gave up and retired. But then during COVID, she sort of like resumed playing table tennis. And it's actually a big deal for her. Like, it doesn't matter that she's playing for Chile, mm-hmm. Chile, even though she's like Chinese. It's the thought that she actually is able to reach her dreams and be able to participate at 58, mm-hmm. which is not such a bad age, because I mean, she is a grandma, but then we also
That's kind of exciting to have your grandma at the Olympics.
Like, yeah!
That's my grandma. And she's playing for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not like those recurring participants who have played maybe two or three games. This is actually her first game at 58. And then we also have Mary Hanna from Australia. She's 69 now, and she is officially the oldest female participant in the 2024 Olympics. And even though this is like her seventh Olympic appearance, still, I mean, 69 Olympics, that's amazing. I think it's amazing. Even though she's like a sub, like, they have an official team, and mm-hmm. if someone gets injured, she can then get in there. It's like dressage equestrian, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the title that she has. And over the history, we've also had older players in the Olympics, like Oscar Swan from Sweden. He holds the world record as the oldest Olympian. He competed in shooting at the age of 72 years old during the 1920 Antwerp Games. He even qualified for the 1924 Olympics at 76, but did not compete. Maybe his body wasn't feeling it, but at least he had the opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Lorna Johnston from Great Britain, who is also in the league of these oldies Olympians. She competed as an equestrian in 1972 in the Munich Games at the age of 75. And then we also have Juan Antonio Jimenez from Spain. He competed as an equestrian at 65. And then we also have Galina Gorokora from Russia, competed at 63 in the 1992 Barcelona Games. So basically what this means is, even though it's sort of like giving hope to people who are still trying to get to the Olympics, mm-hmm. that even though you feel like, oh, I'm 30 now, I'm probably not like fresh talent, like, but then there's still hope, because we have these older generation, older women and men still fighting to be in the Olympics and participating and proving to be like qualified enough to participate. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, the saying that age is just a number also applies in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially like our society tends to dismiss older people,
yeah.
especially
mm-hmm.
women. It does happen with men as well, but especially women, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you've lost your youth. And with that, you know, value in society.
Yeah.
So I think it's great to see older women who are like, no, I'm in the prime of my game,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
it's not
I
too late. You don't have to be like a teen or in your 20s
yeah.
To be a valuable part of the team.
Yeah, mm. And I guess I don't know why for the people was like a big surprise that Mariana Pajón continue participating in the Olympics. Actually, she's not old, but obviously she have like a long career. She have a lot of gold medals. But yeah, a lot of people was like, and she's okay to continue participating. Was mm-hmm. like, yeah, she won and she can,
she
so why not?
Didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know actually when she's gonna have like the opportunity. But she's continued there, and she's mm-hmm. recording videos showing, like the, I don't know how to say, pista?
Skating?
Yeah.
Maybe?
I'm not sure. But yeah.
Oh, no, skating will be patina.
But it's like BMX.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, a lot of comment was like, you feel okay to participate? Like, why not?
Obviously, if she's there.
Yeah, if she's there, it's for a reason.
Yeah, people make a lot of comments on age. And especially, I've seen body types, especially
yeah.
talking about female athletes. On social media, I've seen people obviously like reposting Simone Biles and her routines and everything. And then there's almost always someone commenting of like, no, she looks too bulky or like too muscly. She should slim
yeah.
down. It's more feminine, and it's like, that has absolutely nothing to do with the point. Like, do you see the difficulty that she's competing at?
Yeah,
like, those muscles
true.
Help her compete the way she competes.
That is so
true. Expecting women to, like, make themselves weaker in order for you to think that they're more feminine looking and more beautiful. You know,
yeah.
it's... We still get comments like that.
Yeah,
we
that's
had,
true.
We had a somewhat similar case in Africa. With an athlete, she's an amazing runner. Her name is Caster Semenya. Because she's like a masculine lesbian,
mm-hmm.
There had been a lot of controversies, like you're letting a man run with mm-hmm. women. Why are you letting her participate in the women games? And I'm like, she's a woman. She was born a woman. It doesn't matter that she's masculine. That's how she represents
mm-hmm.
herself. But at the end
yeah.
of the day, she is a woman. And I think at one time, she was actually refused to play something. I think it was like a major thing in Africa. I'm forgetting the name of the event, which was very upsetting because it's like people are judging her because of the way she looks
mm-hmm.
and
not her ability
yeah.
as an athlete. Things
it's
that
terrible.
Just don't really happen with male athletes.
No.
So there's still a lot of work to be done.
True.
We'll go quickly to probably our last song break, and then we'll be back.
Yeah. Mira, 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 bailando, esa quiero irme de aquí, todo lo que siento por ti, mi tierra. Tu cielo me llena de tanta ilusión, tu brazo me da el calor, el fuego de mi corazón, mi tierra. Nunca te apagues, nunca me dejes, tú eres mi sangre, mi tierra. Eres la luz en mi camino al andar, desde la tierra hasta el mar.
As we've been hinting at, just because the numbers are 50-50 doesn't mean that we've reached gender equality.
Yeah, that's true.
In the Olympic Games. And that doesn't necessarily mean that all women necessarily feel that gender equality or parity as they're competing. We have some frustrating news.
Yeah,
from Mariana.
It's difficult because that's something that I talk on Alo Hecho Pecho, but I guess it's important to continue talking about that. And it's a volleyball player called Van Devel was convicted of rape, and he is participating in the Olympics in Paris. So he was sentenced to 4 years in prison after admitting to 3 counts of raping a 12-year-old British girl. So he knew the girl for, I guess, Facebook, was in social media, and they start talking, but he knew that she have that age. And in that moment, he have 19, and she have 12. So there's a lot of people talking about that and said that it's not, like, fair that he is participating for the thing that he do. But a lot of people is saying that he already been punished and it's over and he can get on with his life like anyone else. But I guess it's not fair because he just be in the jail like 12 months than the 4 years that they receive. So I know that he traveled the same day that he talked with the girl. He go to Amsterdam to London. He have sexual relation with the girl. When they study the situation, they realize that the girl never have a relation, sexual relation before that have with the man. When they have like the moment to be with the judge, he said that he have like a no judgment about the age for the girl. So when he have like the sentence for the judge, he go to the names for the country is so difficult for me, but Países Bajos,
the Netherlands. That one's hard because it's very different.
Yeah. So he go back to there and like don't say anything about that. He just have like the sentence and he be just 12 months. So he said that he trying to be honest about the situation and he pay already in the jail, but no, was the 4 year that he received, just was 12 months. So I guess he it's not in the in the place that other athletes stay in Paris, and he is not talking with the journalist later than a game because was like so difficult when he arrived to Paris because a lot of people not be. According to he be there, but he need to take like extra security because there are people like trying to hurt him. So a lot of people is asking why he's in the competition, why is he there? So the International Olympic Committee said that every country decide if they want to the athlete be there or not. So he go back to 2017, and he said the Netherlands Olympic Committee said that he actually have like everything in like okay to continue participating, like no more. So he said that he have like a treatment according to the things to believe that he is a new guy and believe that he is a new person. So he have like a lot of moment to say like he's okay and he not represent any danger for the society, but actually he raped and he never pay the sentence that he received. So in volleyball with the Netherlands team, he's playing, he's continue playing. And that's the story. A lot of people said like not feel comfortable that he be there. I guess a lot of people not feel comfortable like a person like him be there, but was like the decision that the Netherlands Olympic Committee take. And that's the notice that I have for today.
Which is seems kind of like a, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a strange decision, you know, because usually a country wants, you know, their athletes to represent like the highest standard of their country, or you know, to be a good face, a model citizen. So it is seems like an odd choice.
It actually seems like a situation where a lot of money was involved to sort of make it acceptable when it's really not acceptable. Because, I mean, how can we say he's a changed man when he didn't even finish his sentence? That is upsetting. Because if he had sit this one out and then maybe tried to play at the next games, we would have understood that he missed these games so that he would pay for the crime that he was convicted of doing, instead of just acting like nothing happened, like it's okay. And I mean, on the other hand, it could probably not be the brightest idea for him to participate, especially considering how volleyball is like a team kind of thing. Like, how are the other team players feeling about this? And I mean, it's a very sensitive issue when it comes to like violating women, and a 12-year-old did that. I mean, the world is a scary place. I mean, they met on Facebook, like really? For the places? I mean, that in itself says something about this situation, because if he's like a model citizen and he's 19, why couldn't he get along with someone his age or a schoolmate or I don't know, but a 12-year-old from Facebook? That is disturbing.
And I guess that the conversation that they read that he used the position that he have in the team to like have more conversation with the girl, because he present like the team captain of the volleyball team, so she was like exciting to know that person. But in the same day that they start talking, they travel to London and rape the girl, because she, I guess, no understand what mean a sexual relation, and later he accept that with the judge, but was just 12 months that he be in the jail and no more. It's difficult.
It's a very shady situation.
Yeah.
If we're being realistic, because I mean, it's not even half of his sentence. It's like just 1 year out of 4 years that he was in jail for this thing. And I can imagine, considering how these Olympians are like the face of the countries, they're like people who the viewers look up to, like this is our country representative. I can imagine how people from Netherlands are feeling when they eventually get to see him like playing, and even the girl and the girl's family, like how justice was not served and he's just going about with his life normally. Like, nothing happened. Because
exactly.
Usually when something like this happens and someone has a record, like a criminal record, that usually significates the end of a career. Like, no one wants to work with someone who's convicted of a crime, especially a crime that big. But he's playing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is so not okay.
And it's just another example. This, I, unfortunately, I'm sure he's not the only abusive person who's competing.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, the fact that he was convicted says a lot, because often those kinds of crimes go without justice.
Mm.
But I'm sure there are other people representing their countries who have, you know, skeletons in their closet, who have not treated women with dignity and fairness.
That is true.
And these are things that we have to keep in mind. You know, it's important to celebrate the milestones, you know, to celebrate the equality in numbers, but recognize that that's not it.
True.
Just because, like, oh, we're 50-50 now, gender equality.
That is not enough.
No.
Because what is the message that this country is sending to everyone? What is the message that the Olympics, I don't know who selects the people that get to participate, what is the message they're sending? Because it's like they're condoning this crime, like, it's okay, like, even if you killed someone, you can still come and play in the Olympics. Mm. That is not okay at all.
It's not.
It's upsetting.
A reminder to continue working, to continue talking about women's rights and justice, and an end to violence against women in all aspects of life, including in sports.
Yeah. Before we go, the first time of the game, finish.
Okay. 0-0.
Any goal. Yeah, okay. I'm suffering, but okay.
We'll see how the second half goes.
I hope for Colombian team.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts today? Next week, we'll probably continue talking a little bit about sports.
Yeah.
And about gender and it's a big topic. And the Olympics is still going on.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we end today's program?
In my case, no. No, I'm okay.
I don't have anything either. I'm just manifesting this in the universe that I'm really gonna watch some of these Olympic games, especially the women's football, if they're pretty women.
yeah, that's true.
Probably I'll have more to talk about next week, you know, with more information and depth, rather than just knowing a bit about the games.
So
enjoy the game, everyone.
Thank you.
So tune in next week to see how Michelle's journey with the Olympic Games goes. And we look forward to talking more about this and many other things here on Mirrored Voices. Catch you next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
No lo entiendo. Si la marea no jala pa' aquí, porque no hay viento. Te fuiste perdiendo. No era de nosotros. Ya no tengo tiempo. Eso te decía. Pero no era cierto. Me estaba doliendo. Que vienes ahora, desde que te fuiste todo mejor, pensando en ti no paso las horas, decir lo siento no es pedir